Ali al-Zaidi, the new prime minister in Iraq, has his work cut out for him. The unfinished Iran war has created an enormous challenge for Iraq's government. Not long ago, Iraq's wealthy Arab neighbors looked at the country as an investment opportunity. Now, leaders from the Gulf Arab states, including key U.S. partners Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates, see Iraq as a potential national security threat, because Iran-backed militias have launched attacks from Iraqi soil against targets in the Gulf. But the new Iraqi prime minister has had some early success in reining in those militias and winning support from Washington. That's one of our top stories today at the Christian Science Monitor. It's Wednesday, June 3rd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning from Boston. I'm Matthew Bell. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. President Donald Trump signed a scaled-back executive order on artificial intelligence. The order addresses cybersecurity, telling agencies to create a benchmarking process to assess the advanced cyber capabilities of AI models. It also asks companies to give the federal government early access to AI models 30 days before their release. That's less than the 90-day requirement in a previous draft the president had been expected to sign. The new order also includes a sentence saying it does not establish mandatory government licensing for new AI models. Cambodia brought its maritime border dispute with Thailand to the United Nations. On Tuesday, Cambodian Prime Minister Hun Manet said his country launched a process with the UN aiming to resolve the rivals' overlapping claims to potentially resource-rich waters in the Gulf of Thailand. The move comes as conflict along Thailand and Cambodia's land border fans nationalism in both countries. Last month, Bangkok, which has historically been resistant to third-party mediation, scrapped a long-standing pact that had sought to resolve these same maritime disputes. Also, Bible sales are up, and so are Bible study guides. Last year, sales reached a 21-year high, with more than 19 million units purchased in the United States. The United Kingdom also saw record Bible sales over the same time period. Now, Publishers Weekly reports that the 3.2 million sales of Bible study guides, which help readers understand the scriptures, were double in 2025 what they were in 2019. Plus, the New International Version, or NIV, study Bible has now sold more than 10 million units. We know there's renewed interest in religion, Ed Stetzer told Publishers Weekly. He's the dean of the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University in California. Publishers who want to help people engage with the Bible are looking to new and creative means to help that happen, he said. Now, today's Monitor stories, as always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. With warning signs flashing about New York City's economy, Mayor Zohran Mamdani is facing questions about whether he has a plan to spur job creation. If he fails on that front, a lagging recovery could squelch his affordability agenda. Contributor Aaron Short reports from New York for The Monitor. Iraq was offering attractive opportunities for Gulf Arab economic and diplomatic initiatives, but the Iran war made it a springboard for Iran-backed militia attacks. Now, Iraq's neighbors are looking to the country's young and untested prime minister to see if he can navigate a multifaceted crisis. Taylor Luck reports from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and Dubai, United Arab Emirates, for The Monitor. Young people are finding fulfillment in filling out the crosswords iconic grids. We puzzle out the pastime's history and what's behind its renaissance. Cameron Pugh reports for The Monitor. Côte d'Ivoire has hundreds of miles of coastline, but many people there are afraid of the water. The country's surfers are trying to change that. Colette Davidson reports from Aswande, Côte d'Ivoire, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on dignity's role in ending wartime rape. In 21 conflicts around the world, sexual violence as a tactic of war surged last year, according to a new United Nations report. Yet, in only one conflict, the civil war in Sudan, such atrocities are a defining feature used in fear campaigns between rival ethnic groups, as explicitly stated by perpetrators. In Africa's third largest country by area, preventing conflict-related sexual violence or helping survivors has been difficult. The civil war between the Sudanese Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces, now in its fourth year, has yet to yield to international efforts to end it. Sudan has become the world's most dire displacement crisis. Many women and girls fleeing the conflict only sought help after reaching neighboring countries, the report stated, which underscores the importance of assistance in all phases of displacement. Some progress has been made, other than highlighting the issue or documenting specific cases of such violence. Last year, for example, the government in Khartoum renewed its commitment to prevent sexual violence, assist survivors, and hold perpetrators accountable. The International Criminal Court is investigating gang rapes and other crimes. Aid workers are better at identifying places with the most pressing needs, helping to reduce immediate harm, strengthen resilience, and empower survivors. Some foreign support is reaching local women's groups to provide safe spaces for protection and response services. The aid often provides secure bathing facilities, lighting in settlement camps, and dignity kits that come with basic tools for hygiene and protection. In fact, the UN report recommends that global solutions to conflict-related sexual violence focus on the dignity of victims and survivors, sending a message that survivors are worthy of justice rather than a message of social stigma. Sudanese women are leading humanitarian efforts in the country, one UN office stated in April. They are providing life-saving assistance to women, children, and families in conflict-affected areas, delivering food, medical care, psychosocial support, and protection services, often in areas inaccessible to international actors. The message of dignity for survivors might be starting to counter a tendency for them to feel shame. Social media campaigns by the Sudan Family Planning Association have led to a surprising result. Survivors have directly responded to the campaigns to seek resources for support. Such successes help beat back the false notion that wartime rape is inevitable. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we awaken to more of divine love's government of our lives, we find we conform to an unchanging standard of morals that blesses us and others. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas and Morgan Anderson. I'm Matthew Bell. Thanks for listening.
This This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.